Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for October the 26th, 2023. Thank you for listening to AFR. All right, so I'm going to introduce everybody here. Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And Ray Pritchard.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well, Ray. Thanks for joining us. Ray's in Kansas City, Kansas, and we're in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's where we're broadcasting from for today's issues. Weather report from KC.
Noah's flood for the last 2 days. We've had nothing but rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, rain for two. I guess we're in a third straight day of rain, and right now it's well. And this afternoon it's going to be 74 degrees, and by Saturday morning it's going to be down to 38.
The Indian summer is over.
It is
starting
over.
On whatever day it is. You said Saturday.
Yes, Saturday morning.
We'll get it on Monday.
Yeah.
Next week when it's first.
Yeah. It's you're right. It has been. I guess you could call it unseasonably warm.
Yeah, 80s here.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Still like
I call it awesome.
I know. This is still like May or June. I know they got some much needed rain too across Texas and Oklahoma and I guess Kansas. You guys been dry too there
for we have not gotten much rain the last 2 or 3 months. And then here comes the flood. Yeah.
I think it's Here Comes the Sun, little darling, but if I'm not mistaken.
Carpenters.
Chris.
That's right, the Carpenters.
Chris doesn't know.
When in doubt, just guess the Carpenters, kids.
That's right.
Carpenters, they did sing a song, Rainy Days of Mondays.
Not Whalen Jennings. Rainy Days
of Mondays, yes.
I think that's the Beatles.
That's how all of this got started.
Yeah. It is. I think it's Here Comes the Sun.
You'll have to go back to our podcast, which you can find on AFR.net and find out what we're talking about.
We're educating Chris on life in the 60s and 70s.
That's right.
I got my MD right now working on the PhD. Right.
All right. So, hey, if you want to join us on what Ed affectionately calls that there internet, you can go to our streaming service. You can watch the show live there, streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net. We are also on Facebook. Go to Facebook Live. Type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. We also post the stories that we discuss where you can read them for yourself, where we get our information from at Facebook Live. And then YouTube. Brent, again, we've just recently been able to get back on YouTube for those who use that service. What do they need to do?
They can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues live stream.
Today's Issues live stream. All right. So, Chris, what's the first story today?
Well, happening right now in the great state of Maine, state and local officials are having a press conference to update people on a terrible situation there that began last night in Maine. Right now, at least 18 people are dead, 13 injured in a Maine shootings. We have the story on our website, AFN.net. If you're not familiar with the story, a man shot and killed at least 18 people at a restaurant and a bowling alley in Lewiston, Maine, and then fled into the night, sparking a massive search by hundreds of officers while frightened residents in multiple communities stayed locked in their homes today under a shelter-in-place advisory. A police bulletin has identified 40-year-old Robert Card as a person of interest in the attack that sent panicked bowlers scrambling behind pins when shots rang out around 7 p.m. last night. Card has been described by authorities as a firearms instructor, believed to be in the Army Reserve and assigned to a training facility there in the state of Maine.
So he hasn't been captured, Fred?
No, they are still looking for him. Lewiston, if you want to place it on the map there in Maine, is just kind of northeast of Portland, Maine, inland a bit. Second largest city in Maine. This man they're looking for, Robert Card, 40 years of age, as Chris has mentioned, ex-military person. He went into these restaurants, the bowling alley, filled with people late yesterday afternoon, early evening, and according to police reports, opened fire on these individuals that were there. The lockdown, schools, public buildings, et cetera, continuing through the day today. We don't know much more about him, this Mr. Card, than we have talked about, other than there are some reports that said he had some mental illness problems this past summer. He spent 2 or 3 weeks in a mental hospital, so that might indicate that he was under some degree of stress. And whether that was behind it or not, we're not sure. But that's what we know at this
18
point.
18 people confirmed dead?
18. The governor of the state, Governor Janet Mills, just confirmed an updated number. There were a couple of different numbers earlier this morning. One news agency reporting 22, another one saying 16. But she just told us 18 people confirmed
that,
13 injured.
Okay, so he just went into this bowling alley and started mowing people down.
Bowling alley and restaurant. There was two separate areas where he opened fire.
Yeah. I just heard about this story last night, about 9 or 10 o'clock our time. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked, as everybody was, about how many people were shot, were dead and injured, killed and injured. Mm-hmm. And this town's about 40,000 people, I guess. I think 40,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. And Maine.
But you just don't think of Maine, Ray, as a place where this kind of thing would happen, you know?
Well, in the first place, until you've gone to Maine, you don't realize how, if I say rural, I mean, Lewiston, it's a big city for Maine. But the minute you get outside the city limits, you are in a deeply forested area.
Right.
Anything north and east of Portland is almost like virgin forest up there. So what happened to this fellow? Because if you look at the map of Lewiston, I mean, I've not been to the city, but driven through it on I-95.
Yes.
goes from Portland right through Lewiston. So you can see that there was a shooting kind of up on the north side. Then evidently he went down to somewhere else on the south side. One of those, I don't know which one was first, but he shot. It's not as if he shot up two locations that are like a block apart. So whoever did this clearly, guys, had thought about what he was doing, had planned it out clearly. You see from those pictures, obvious military training. Where did he go? Where did he, after he shot and kill these people, where did he go?
Yeah, because it's a massive manhunt.
It is.
Local, state,
mm-hmm.
probably FBI involved. I don't know.
Yes, very much so.
But at the same time, if he planned it out, if in fact he's the killer, mm-hmm. which appears that he was, but he got him on video, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're always taught to use the word alleged before somebody's convicted. That's typically how you're supposed to handle it as a journalist. But in this case, you got a video, but you just wondered, to your point, Ray, if this guy knows the area and he knows he was going to be chased,
right?
He probably knows how to hide,
right? And you know, again, once you get outside the city,
right,
you are in deeply forested area. I guess the second question is, we're assuming he acted alone, but we don't even really know that, do we?
No.
Was there anybody else involved?
There's no indication from anybody. Just been listening to this news conference with the governor, with also the local police department, the state police. There is no indication from their comments that Mr. Card, if the suspect, had any help.
Yeah. Or what his motive.
Or what his motive
would
was.
Have been.
No.
Let me tell you, I don't want to talk too much about this, but when these kinds of things happen, and I hear about somebody being mentally ill, okay, and that's a reason why they did what they did. I think that's a two-part answer, if I even ask a question there, because a lot of these folks who want to blame these kinds of actions on mental illness don't consider spiritual evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I know in psychology school, you don't, how do you study that? Right. Exactly. Here's what I mean by that. If they're going to say, by they, I mean the people who try to explain this on TV all day, every day. Well, this fella had mental illness. He went into a mental hospital last year, whatever like that. Okay, that's I'm sorry that happened to him. And mental illness is a real thing. I'm not dismissing it. But if you got enough sense to get an AR, is that what they call it? An AR?
Yeah.
And you got enough sense to know you're driving down to the bowling alley, and you're going to kill a lot of people, and you got enough sense to leave the area and try to get away from the police, then guess what? You're not mentally ill. You're just killing people because you're an evil person. Or you've been possessed by the devil, which, a lot of mental illnesses are really just demonic possession.
Yes.
Now, the world doesn't know how to describe that like we do as Christians, but right. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. The devil, who is a real entity, takes control of somebody's mind and causes them to do evil and wicked things. Right, Ray? Have I got that right?
Well, it's 100% that demon possession is a real thing, because the devil's real, because if you open the door and he comes in, the Jesus himself said the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Yeah, I've heard heinous crimes often dismissed, and person's supposed to get like less of a penalty, right, because they have mental illness. And I'm going, well, show me that exactly, because what I see, this was planned and plotted and executed. And if you got enough sense to do all that, then you know exactly what you're doing.
Yes.
Otherwise, why didn't he go out and shoot up a refrigerator out in a field somewhere? Mm-hmm. Take your anger out on that. Why do you go kill innocent people?
And to your point that it was planned, he is still on the loose. They found his car.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's out there somewhere.
Yeah, he may be crazy in the generic sense we use that word to describe somebody who does something like this. Everybody looks at that and goes, "Well, that's nuts. That's crazy." Yeah, it's crazy in the sense that it's completely, totally abnormal from everyday actions, but it's not crazy in the sense that he didn't know what he was doing. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
But massive manhunt underway, and I'm sure the authorities will be updating us. But you got to be just, if you live in the area, they've told them shelter in place, right?
Yes.
Right. They've been sheltering in place for 12 hours now, right?
Yeah, last night the schools in a very broad area, they told them they're shutting down today. Don't send your kids to school.
No, also they want the roads clear as much as possible so they could detect him if he's driving out, right?
Yeah. What are the other
things? You think they'll have roadblocks, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of footage already of roadblocks last night. This morning, people are coming woods. I'm presuming police officers.
My guess is this guy is going to be found out in the country. Mm-hmm. Out in the, as Ray decided, what did you call it, out in the forest?
Yeah, I mean, that's, they said just a heavily forested area.
He'll probably be found out there. Mm-hmm. Sometime.
I would imagine if it is true that he has a background in the Army Reserve, he probably has some sort of wilderness training.
He's dangerous, very dangerous, because, I mean, you could have a shootout.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he could have booby traps if he's planned it this far in advance.
Yes.
One of the other things that you're going to hear today are the survivor stories, and I have one here. Steve Jordahl cut this soundbite for us. It's a man identified only as Brandon. He was at the bowling alley, and he's telling reporters here of his efforts to escape the gunman. Clip one.
Out of nowhere, he just came in, and there was a loud pop. Thought it was a balloon. I had my back turned to the door. And as soon as I turned and saw it was not a balloon, he was holding a weapon. I just booked it down the lane, and I slid basically into where the pins are and climbed up in the machine and was on top of the machines for about 10 minutes until the cops got there.
Yeah. By the way, the cops didn't confront him. He was gone, right?
That's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He fled.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was no shootout at the bowling alley or anything?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Which goes, again, to this was planned.
Right.
And to execute that plan in two very different locations.
Right.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very sad, tragic for the families involved in the community. They'll be in shock for a while.
And the President of the United States has ordered flags at half staff until October 30th at all public buildings across the country.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Just to recap before we move on to our next story. Last night in Lewiston, is that the name of the town?
Lewiston, Maine.
Yeah. Maine, a man went into a bowling alley. He was a local guy. Went into the bowling alley and opened up on the people in there with an AR-15, they think.
High-powered weapon, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where and it killed 18 people confirmed dead and
13
injured.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of them are in the hospital. Can you imagine a little town like that? Of course, that's about the size of our town here, Tupelo, but mm-hmm. still having that many people rushed into the hospital at the same time.
Yeah. 18 killed, 13 injured. Just think about all the families impacted by this.
Yeah, I know.
And they probably know, some people would know Mr. Card.
Yeah, and here comes the... ban assault weapons.
Flag laws.
Yes. That started the minute after this was national news, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I would imagine a state like Maine probably already has some pretty restrictive things guns.
Yeah, we already have laws against killing people.
Yeah, yes. That's been around a long time.
Murder's illegal, so he didn't care about that law.
Nope.
All right, what's your next story?
Well, from Maine to Israel, where... troops and tanks launched an hours-long ground raid into northern Gaza last night, striking several terrorist targets in order to, quote, prepare the battlefield before a widely expected ground invasion after more than 2 weeks of devastating airstrikes. I shared this link a moment ago on our Facebook page. To give you some indication that Israel is indeed moving toward a ground invasion that we've been talking about for 2 weeks now, I've got some audio of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking through an interpreter, saying they have decided on a time for a ground invasion, and it's going to come with a vengeance. Clip 7.
I want to be clear. The timing of the ground invasion will unanimously be decided by the war cabinet, along with the chief of staff and the cabinet. And we will act in order to ensure best terms for our soldiers for the coming operations. When we will get into Gaza down the road, we will collect the highest price from those murderers who committed the horrible atrocities, Hamas, ISIS.
So I think what the prime minister is saying there, that Israel is not going to be swayed or back away from the intent that was put out there after the October 7th massacre, that they are out there, declared war on Hamas, and they are out to diminish and do away with Hamas as best that they can. Despite what we're seeing now, if you look at the mainstream media, their stories are all sympathetic to the Palestinians inside Gaza. All of the videos that you're seeing have totally switched away from the massacre of 1,400 Jewish men, women, and children there on October the 7th. And so he is saying, no, we're out to deal with Hamas once and for all. What happened last night, Israel sent some tanks briefly into Gaza last night. They wanted to kind of take out any kind of communication apparatus that Hamas may still be using. They found the entryway to some of the tunnels that Hamas uses extensively, and they wanted to deal with that all in advance of a major, major mission to go into Gaza and once and for all find the Hamas, as you just heard through the translator there. They are going to deal with these Hamas terrorists once and for all. And basically what that means is take them out.
Mm-hmm. Hunt them down and take them out.
That's the way it's going. And it's going to be nasty.
Yeah. Ray, what do you think about this?
Well, obviously, the Israelis have been waiting and waiting and waiting. And we have said on this program, they've got to go sooner or later, right? You can't put it off forever. There has been tremendous pressure, including some pressure from leaders here in the States to say, no, don't do that. But if the goal is to take out Hamas once and for all, you can't do that completely from the air. No. You can only do so much. You've got to do exactly what happened last night on an even bigger scale, sending the tanks, sending the troops, find the bad guys, and pick them off one by one by one. It's good, Fred, as you said, it is going to be awful because we are living, you know, I was thinking about if we had had social media during World War II, right? And posting to Facebook and Twitter and places like that during the Normandy invasion, right? How public opinion would be, would have changed. I am glad Prime Minister Netanyahu and the War Cabinet have finally set the time, and the sooner the better, go in there and get the job done. But as you said, Fred, it's going to be a nasty job.
And Hamas is still, you know, over the last almost 3 weeks now since the massacre in Israel, Hamas has, Israel told the residents of northern Gaza to move to the south, and many of them have done that. I mean, Gaza City in northern Gaza, 600,000 residents, it's a big, big city. And so most of those people have left. But there is still a lot of Hamas strength in the northern part because yesterday, late 10:30 Tel Aviv time last night, there were missiles from Gaza hitting in downtown Tel Aviv. So that's where we are. The danger is still very much there in northern Gaza. It's really interesting. There was a question yesterday to President Joe Biden from a reporter about what he thinks about the numbers coming out from Gaza of Palestinian citizens killed. And the number that the reporter gave was just over 5,000. And this is Joe Biden, President Joe Biden speaking. He says, well, if you believe the numbers that Hamas is giving people. I thought that was very interesting. The President of the United States, a Democrat, putting it out there, you can't believe the numbers that Hamas is giving. Mm-hmm. Because most of the video that you see coming out of Gaza right now is a lot of it is Hamas people taking those pictures.
Right.
We all know about the lie last week about the hospital.
Right.
Hamas told everybody it was an Israeli missile.
Right.
And that hundreds of people in that hospital were dead.
Right.
It was all a lie.
Right.
All a lie. So.
And all the media had to backtrack and apologize after they went. I mean, even the very liberal, like New York Times, the BBC, others, they had to go back and say, wait,
yeah,
it wasn't a Israeli missile. It was a Hamas missile that went astray.
Yes, yes.
But remember
it hit a parking lot, and the injuries there just nowhere close to what they talked about.
Right. All right, so well, we'll see what happens. You know, with military personnel, I know they're on their own standby, but – you know, you seems to me like with any human endeavor like this, you have an energy buildup, right? Mm-hmm. You have quote momentum, and you have a plan. You're ready to execute it. For every day that you're told stand down and wait is, I don't know. That seems to me psychologically that would be harder for every day you have to wait when you're on. You know what I'm ready? It's like a football team ready to take the field.
Yes.
And then they're told, we got a TV timeout for the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's
to stay on alert.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think we have to stress is that America is involved with this. We just found out yesterday, and some of this happened a couple of weeks ago, American soldiers were injured when probably Iran sent missiles into Yemen and Syria. We have bases in those areas. Mm-hmm. We have 20 American soldiers that were injured in that.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't know there was that many injuries.
Yes. That we just learned it yesterday.
Yeah.
The White House finally confessed to it.
There was also a missiles fired from Yemen towards Israel. And they were intercepted by Saudi Arabia. Did you see this?
Yes. Yes.
Because Yemen is border Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is between Yemen and Israel. We'll be back momentarily. Hey, we got a new Speaker of the House, and it's the kind of guy we're going to love, I think. We'll be back to talk about it.
If you're like most of us, you're paying way too much for healthcare. That's why I want to tell you about a ministry that has been meeting the healthcare needs of hundreds and thousands of Christians, and that's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is cost-sharing made easy. For over 40 years, this unique model has allowed believers to choose their own doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they are not insurance, but a faith-based alternative to insurance. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. It all starts with a visit to chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR. Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving health share ministry serving all 50 states. Share the good news with a friend, too. chministries.com/AFR. Make the switch today with anytime enrollment. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and, at just 3 weeks, is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off, because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Get involved today.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this program. Sandy on, yes or no? She is? Okay. So, Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for our ministry. That means she represents us in our nation's capital in various and sundry ways. And she's also the host of Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast, which you can find on afr.net, afr.net. So if you go to our afr.net and you click on podcast, you'll see, and then you can click on Sandy's three times a week podcast. So you can, it's, for those who don't know, a podcast is basically radio on demand. So she does that three times a week and has interviews and stories and topics, much like she did when she was live on the air with us for 10 years each morning on American Family Radio. Hello, Sandy. How are you?
Hey, Tim. I'm great. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
It was great to hear your dad's voice. And that great.
It's my turn. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. So you're traveling today?
Yes, I'm in Virginia. I'm going to speak this afternoon later, dinner time. And I'm speaking on behalf of a candidate that's running here for Commonwealth Attorney. Virginia has their elections, I believe it's the 7th of November. And they have different times for most of the country. But Virginia is struggling because, you know, they've had a huge transition. They've taken back, conservatives have taken back all but one house. They've got the governorship. And so there's, you can imagine, tons of money's been poured in here to stop that trend towards red and towards, you know, conservatives and school boards and all the things. So here I'm here to help, and Bishop Jackson's going to be with me later on too. So anyway, that's what I'm doing. And I was in D.C. yesterday in meetings. So That's okay. My assignment.
Gotcha. Well, tell EW we said hello.
I will.
We're still mad at him, but we're quitting on us. But anyway.
I'll be sure and tell him that.
Yeah, tell him. I did talk to him the other day, EW Jackson Bishop. He's going to do some fill-in work for us, much like you do, Fred.
Great.
Here on American Family Radio.
Super.
So
yeah.
Soon you'll be hearing from EW, but he won't have a daily show because Todd Herman took over that spot. And but EW said, hey, I'm going to become available. I can be a utility player, right?
There you go.
Get second base or third
Super.
Base or whatever. So
yeah,
EW will be back on AFR.
Wonderful.
Bishop EW Jackson. Sandy, couple, three things I wanted to talk to you about. One is I haven't talked to you since October 6th, what happened in Israel. And I wanted to ask you, after that, subsequent to that, we saw these demonstrations, these even public figures speaking out. They wouldn't say on behalf of Hamas or terrorism, they wouldn't say that. They would say we're speaking out on behalf of the Palestinian people being persecuted by the Jews in Israel, but still, the open anti-Semitism that I guess a lot of people didn't know was just below the surface has just exploded across America. I say exploded. That's what I on college campuses anyway.
University campuses for sure.
What do you and even some public celebrities and so forth are saying things that are condemning of Israel. What do you make of this anti-Semitism coming up in America?
Well, I don't think it's much of a surprise, really, Tim, because there's a combination of things happening here. The left hates, gosh, how can I explain
this? Well, they hate Jews and Christians, well, for one.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That's for sure. It's a converging of forces. And so the left, of course, hates people of the book.
Right.
But in addition to that, we have opened our doors to thousands and thousands and thousands of people from the Middle East who hate this. I hate Jews. Hate them. They're not Palestinians. They're Syrian refugees. I'm not saying they're all doing this, but I guarantee you that's what they believe. We've allowed them across the border. We've allowed them. Remember, Barack Obama brought in thousands. President Biden just brought in thousands of Afghans. And their culture and their faith teaches that the Jews should be killed, and Christians too, by the way. But they, you know, this is so. College campuses have been, and campus groups have been really enjoined by Middle Eastern students who this is exactly where they live, and we see them in the streets. I mean, they live in those groups, and that's where they populate. We're seeing them in the streets. I mean, goodness, Kim, did you see that demonstration in D.C. On the mall with a Washington Monument behind it? The thousands of members of whatever, however they describe themselves, Palestinian, certainly sympathizers, bowing in prayer to Allah. And that's a sign of conquering. That's what that's a signal. That's their signal, what it means to them. They're marking their turf. They have plans to take this country down.
Well,
so
look,
what's happening.
Yes, to your point, and then Ray, you jump in here too, because we've talked about the fundamental beliefs of Islam and how they are, they're completely contrary to Western values, traditional Western values of democracy and self-governing and freedom and liberty and so forth, individual rights. But to your point about the immigration, okay, two of the squad members that are outspoken in favor of Hamas and dissing Israel all the time are Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib, okay, where is she from? She's from the Detroit area. What is it about Detroit? Well, they have mass Muslim Middle Eastern immigration there.
Right. Her district.
Dearborn and so forth. I'm not saying all those people are bad. I'm just saying their views, as Sandy has said, basically are anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. All right, where's the other Where's the other leader of this group?
Ilhan Omar.
Okay, Ilhan Omar. Where's she from?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Where? What is in Minneapolis? That's where the Somali population lives that Obama let in.
200,000.
He settled them there, Obama. Yeah. 200,000. Mm. So, and those people are going to, that community is going to grow. She was elected by them. Mm-hmm. So to Sandy's point is we've let a lot of people in from the Middle East who are Muslims, and they hate Israel. They don't say it every day, all day, but something like this story rises up, the Israeli war with Hamas, and they speak out and they take the side, basically, of Hamas. Ray, go ahead.
So, Sandy, I'm wondering to myself, listening to you and Tim talk, how do we explain the rise of anti-Semitism here in the U.S.? Obviously, the immigration is a part of it, but I saw this survey just this morning saying the vast number of young people in the public education system don't even know about the Holocaust. I mean, they don't even know what the Nazis did to the Jews in World War II. They just literally don't know. It's not being taught. How do we explain that in America there are people, relatively well-educated people, who think there's some kind of moral equivalence between what Hamas did, the killing of the 1,400, whether it's beheading, whether it's raping, the terrible, unspeakable atrocities, to say that what has happened in Gaza is somehow morally equivalent, as if Israel doesn't even have a chance to defend itself. How have we come to this in American society?
Well, Ray, you know, and I will repeat what we all know, that we serve, the God of all truth. And when people begin to reject or ignore God, they become foolish. They become untethered from reality. They cannot put pieces together. They are a prey to all kinds of lies. So truth, and besides all of this, is as history is unfolding, I've just been reading in Daniel, reminding myself of what God has said through, the angel Gabriel and then Michael who spoke to Daniel. That this, of course, is a conflict against people of the book, all of us who believe in the one true God. This is a battle that goes beyond what's happening on earth. It's a battle to the end. And so whatever the tributary that we talk about, it leads to that. The erasing, the annihilation for the Jews, for the Hamas fighters and the Muslim Brotherhood and really Islam itself, it is to eradicate, not just to limit or, mm-hmm. put them in a corner or take power politically. It is to eradicate the Jewish population. That's been the battle since time began. Since I think of the time of Esther, Haman, mm-hmm. his plot was to destroy all the Jews.
Right.
This is not new. This is history. This is the Satan, the prince of this world, the prince of the world in which we live, who has been hiding, I think, or held, restrained because of the faith of the people of God and the Holy Spirit within us. And because we are waning in our commitment, we've become indulged and passive in our commitment to him. We have allowed our churches to be polluted. Then that means that there's been less power of the Spirit restraining. And we're seeing more and more of Satan, more and more bold. And practically speaking, I just was going to tell you guys, people want to say that the people in Gaza are innocent. I have so much to tell you. Well, the Biden administration, while they pretend that they are supporting Israel, are doing nothing but undermining them in every way. They forced Israel in those long negotiations when Biden and Blinken were supposedly there to help Israel. They actually forced them to allow $200 million worth of aid to go into Gaza. That aid wasn't supervised. Nobody saw what it was. And they want to tell us, and so does the news media, that the people that live there are perfectly innocent. They're innocent, and they need to be helped. But the truth is, I just heard the phone conversation of a Hamas fighter calling his mom and dad and family. And on this call, you hear him so excited because, Dad, I've just killed 10 Jews. I killed 10 Jews. I'm calling you on a dead Jewish woman's phone, a dead Jew's phone. Mm-hmm. I'm calling you. It's one. And then the father and the mother, they're so happy. They're so excited. And they say to him, kill. This is the conversation. And even the children, who must be his brothers and sisters that you hear. This is who lives in Gaza.
Yeah, I read about that. Yeah.
I just want people to understand that in every way, the Biden administration is undermining and sabotaging Israel. They are not helping them.
To your point, Sandy, Fred, you got something to ask or say here too, but Karine Jean-Pierre is the spokesperson from the White House. She has been, the other day she was asked about anti-Semitism. I don't know if we have this clip or not.
It's still in the system somewhere, Brent, from recent
days. But she doesn't answer the question. She starts talking about how Muslims are under persecution. And then later on, when she gets condemned for it by some in the press, she says, I misunderstood the question. And then, like, she did it two or three times, this kind of thing. I'm just going to make a judgment on her right now that's, for what it's worth, okay? She's a squad-type thinker.
Yes.
All right? She can't say it out loud because her boss comes across as, I'm standing with Israel and I'm against anti-Semitism. I'm talking about Biden, who Sandy just talked about, his administration undermining Israel. But she's a lefty. And if she were able to be free of her job, she would go out there and march with those who are protesting Israel. So Biden, while he may speak in support of Israel, the lefties that surround him and those who are in his administration who have been hired since he's been we all see Biden. He just walks around and reads from teleprompters, and he doesn't know what's going on half the time, bless his heart. I mean, he needs to resign. But I'm just saying that's one problem. But who fills the void in power is whoever's second, third down the line. And these kind of people are anti-Semitic. I'm telling you. They're and Karine Jean-Pierre is too, but she can't say it like that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
They're speaking out of both sides of their mouth because he said stuff. Secretary Blinken came out and said, I'm a Jew. I stand behind Israel. And then we have people he's working with doing
resign.
The exact opposite.
And I'm just telling you, traditional liberals aren't necessarily anti-Semitic or anti-Israel, but this rise of these cultural Marxists that we see going on across America, the woke crowd, we call them sometimes, they are going to be very much anti-Israel and anti-Semitic.
Yes.
And we see that. They're not afraid of many of them to speak up now because their numbers are, they've got 5 to 10% of the public probably agree with them. All right. So Sandy, your podcast, tell us how people, what are you going to have on this week?
Could I just say a couple more things? Can I tell you something?
Go for it. I didn't know if you had to leave or not. That's why I was trying to respect your time.
No, I have time, and I just want to say that it's not just the inclination. The Biden administration is filled with Iranian spies. We know this.
Oh, really?
In the highest levels.
Okay.
Oh, yes. In intelligence, they have access, and some are saying that's probably why the Israelis and the Americans who are tied together in terms of intelligence did not see this attack coming because we have been completely compromised. But
them and the Chinese, we know the Chinese spies are everywhere here. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Well, actually, I just heard yesterday, and this is not. No, I'm going to look. I'll give you some good news in a minute if we have a moment. But I want to tell you that we are estimating now that 10,000 young Chinese military age men have come across our border, and so and of course we know that there are terrorists who've come. They're flooding in. We are in great danger, and so I just the bottom line for me is that. make sure your heart is right with God. Get in the scriptures so that you understand the times more deeply. You know, confess your sins and get right with God. And then do something to help defend the country.
Mm-hmm.
Do something. Get yourself ready. Do not be lulled into thinking, it's not going to affect me. It will affect each. And there's really nowhere to run or hide on the globe right now. Mm-hmm. And so we are in great danger, even if you can't see it. It's kind of like the Titanic. Everybody's dining, but the iceberg's coming. But yeah. I would say that something wonderful happened this week, and I believe it was an absolute miracle from God, and that's the election of Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. You're not going to hear this on Fox. They can't stand him because he's not their guy. They're over the Rubicon, Fox is, on this. Mike Johnson is probably the most conservative Christian in the House. He's a strong pro-life, strong family. He's a constitutional attorney. He's got a lot of guts. If you see his interactions, interviewing, interrogating Merrick Garland and others, or taking part in the attempted impeachment of Donald Trump, you'll see that he's very articulate. He's soft-spoken and kind, but tough as nails. And so there were so many terrible things happening in the House, shenanigans, dirty tricks. And I think out of the chaos, I really do think I would just tell everyone, there are some really fine, fine Christian men and women working on our behalf right now in the House of Representatives. And they have been smart and savvy. And they prayed, and I believe this is a result of God hearing their prayers. And one other thing, last thing from me, if you want to be Mike Johnson, the first thing he did was ask for prayer. They all prayed after he was elected.
Amen. I was on a phone conference the other day, over the weekend, about Mike Johnson, the representative from Louisiana. He represents the I don't know which district number it is, but it's Shreveport. It's
right.
The northwest part of the state of Louisiana. And I was listening to this phone conference, and Mike was speaking. Congressman, I don't know him personally, but I know a lot of people who do know him personally who have great admiration for him. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was thinking to myself, as we were talking about what his chances may be to end up Speaker of the House, I was thinking, I'm going to put that at about 5% chance, because there were three or four people that were in line. This is post
Jim Jordan
mm-hmm. being out of the race. Mm-hmm. There were three or four people in line, the guy from Minnesota, Emmert, and he would have been he's not one of us. Okay. Put it that way. And I was thinking, not very many people know who Congressman Johnson is. I do, mm-hmm. for the reason Sandy mentioned, because he's a strong conservative constitutionalist. But here we are, less than a week later, and as Sandy said, a miracle of God. I think he's the Speaker of the House,
yes,
of Representatives. So I think if he lets us down, it's all is lost. Okay. I'm just kidding. Our faith and hope, as Sandy always says, is in God.
Amen.
Always the first and foremost. But we need to pray that House Speaker Johnson holds the line,
yes.
right, and stands up for the same things he stood up for all along, which made him House Speaker, and I think he will. I'm not doubting that. All right. Anything else, Sandy, before we go here?
No, there's a lot, of course, but I think those are the main things. And
Save some of it for your podcast, or people aren't going to want to, you know what I'm saying? You need to say some.
You know, I need 10 hours to get everything out. Things are accelerating, I swear. Yeah. You asked me about the podcast. It's going really well. This week we, actually seems like 10 years ago. I mean, traveling and thinking about all these other things, but I had some great guests this week. Wednesday, Brigitte Gabriel joined me.
Mm-hmm.
And on Monday, I talked about the speaker's race with Jenny Beth Martin. Jenny's been real involved in that. And
yeah.
I've been, you know, had the privilege of staying on top of that in good ways. So, yeah. So we talked about that, and then didn't see that coming. Did not see Mike Johnson.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. If we'd have been sitting here, if we'd have been talking a week ago on this show, Ray, and we'd been with Sandy, we'd have been going, Mike Johnson, I've heard of him.
Yeah, but who was he?
Yeah.
Well, no, I do have great admiration for him. I don't know him well, but I've seen him conduct these interrogations and the hearings, and I've always been impressed. But that's all I knew about him. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I just never saw that coming because I've seen defeat after defeat from the canny leftists and really, really compromised, corrupt part of the Congress, as far as I'm concerned, in the House. So I just think, honestly, I just think God really gave us that, and I'm smiling. So, Wednesday, Brigitte Gabriel, tomorrow, Gary Hemrick. So it's a good lineup this week, and we've had some wonderful interactions, and the beat goes on, even though it's not the morning show. So I want to encourage people to listen. You can go to help me. AFA.net is our home base. If you go to sandyrios.com, it's really simple, but any podcast platform, Apple or Spotify, whatever, then you can listen anytime. I love what you said. Podcast is radio on demand. I think you should market that, patent that phrase.
It really is, because, you can get... So AFR.net, click on podcast and Sandy Rios 24/7. Go there and listen to it, folks. You will really enjoy it. Sandy has a lot of great guests and interviews and insights. Check it out. AFR.net, Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast. All right, Sandy, safe travels, and we will talk to you very soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios.
I was so impressed with Congressman Mike Johnson yesterday when he won that.
You want to play a clip? Do we have time for
it?
How long is it?
It's how long is number four?
It's airable.
Okay, cut number four.
Go.
I want to tell all my colleagues here what I told the Republicans in that room last night. I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear. That God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us. And I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for this specific moment in this time. This is my belief. I believe that each one of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts that God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great country, and they deserve it.
I would have added, and I believe God is telling you lefties to repent. That's what I believe. But he didn't say that. He was more...
Maybe day two, he'll say that.
If y'all don't come up front right now, God's done with you. Ain't kidding.
I think he was. That was his introductory speech as Speaker of the House. He didn't want to get into too much of a fight at that juncture. Okay, we'll save that for today. All right, we shall return after this break for news. And we'll see you back here then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.